Small talk, chit-chat, tense silences, awkward pauses. First dates, especially blind ones, are often filled with uneasy moments as nervous singles shift uncomfortably in their seats and strain to make bright, animated chatter. But Shelley Brown and Rob Shapiro had overcome that hurdle easily. As Rob escorted Shelley out of the high-rise building she lived in on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, they stumbled over a homeless man sprawled against the sidewalk in a drunken stupor. Both bent over the man in compassion, trying to rouse him. And then they called the police. By the time the brouhaha had subsided, the ice between the two had been broken. Afterwards, as they walked along Broadway towards their destination, they had much to discuss. Both commented on the sorry plight of vagrants of New York City, and Rob confided that once a month he volunteered at a shelter for homeless. Shelley arched her eyebrows in surprise. Once a month, she volunteered at a soup kitchen. The conversation took off from there, as both social activists discussed urban blights, social ills, and local politics. Nary a word was spoken about their own personal histories. But as soon as they made the transition from the dark city streets to the brightly lit restaurant where they had reservations, the conversation trailed off. It was then that Rob made his foray into the usual first aid concrete data, here's my resume chatter. So, he said, turning to her brightly, you know, it's a funny thing. My ex-wife is also named Shelley. Is that so? She smiled. I didn't want to tell you this, but guess what? My ex-husband is also a Rob. Huh, he laughed. That's cute. Well, I guess there are a lot of Robs around, right? Popular soap opera name at the time I was born. So, I understand you have a few children. Why don't you tell me about them, Shelley prompted. Well, there's Miriam, age 3, Daniel, age 5, and Joey, age 10, he said proudly. Is anything wrong? He asked quickly as he saw her face turn pale. Well, I don't know how to tell you this, she said. Do you want to know about my children? Sure, go ahead. Well, there's Miriam, age 3, Daniel, age 5, and Joey, age 10. His jaw dropped. You're kidding, right? He asked weakly. I know this is downright weird, but it's true. They both fell silent. Hey, you know, Rob offered, laboring to fill in the widening gap in conversation. My ex-wife is getting married next week. Oh no, Shelley jumped from her seat. Tell me this is a joke. What's the matter, Rob asked, perplexed. My ex-husband is getting married next week, too. And he's marrying somebody named Shelley. Wait a second. Your ex-husband's last name isn't by any chance Rosenberg, is it? And your ex-wife's last name isn't Simmons, is it? Shelley asked. What do you think? Rob grinned back. So Shelley and Rob, who had been married to Shelley and Rob, united in holy matrimony, just like Shelley and Rob. And since both had custody of their children, their lively household now consisted of two Miriams, age 3, two Daniels, age 5, and two Joeys, age 10. Whoever said that opposites attract? One more amazing story from Small Miracles.
Are you living?
Hello, Mr. Klein. The voice of Goldie Bucksbaum, budding matchmaker, bubbled over with excitement. It was difficult enough to find the right soulmates for the young in the Orthodox Jewish community, but it was truly a Herculean feat to make a match for the above 30 set. This was a population for which tearful mothers sighed, sobbed and wrung their heads in utter despair, while their more successful counterparts groaned in commiseration and offered to call their friends in Australia, who might possibly know someone who was available and under 70. Because it was such a dearth of eligible young men for women over 30, Goldie Bucksbaum felt downright jubilant as she dialed the telephone number of Joseph Klein, a wonderful but still unattached male of 35. She had just met a young woman of 31 who seemed to fulfill all the criteria on his wish list, and Goldie was firmly convinced that this was the woman for Mr. Klein. Goldie was, in fact, so excited about the match that she barely waited for Mr. Klein's return greeting before she plunged headlong into the purpose of her call. Listen, she practically shrieked in excitement. I found your soulmate, your destined one, the most wonderful woman in the whole world, and she's just the right age for you. 31. As Goldie paused to collect her breath, Mr. Klein interrupted her with an apologetic cough and a dry inquiry. 31, he said in a puzzled voice. Don't you think, he protested politely, that she's just a little bit too young for me? For once in her life, Goldie was at a loss for words. She was stunned. What was the matter with this man? Of all the strange excuses, Maybe he wasn't really sincere about getting married after all. All the men she had dealt with in the past had insisted on much younger women as potential mates. And now Mr. Klein found a 4-year difference to be too much? Are you crazy, Goldie screeched. What's wrong with a 4-year difference? What are you talking about? A 4-year difference, he sputtered on the other side. I'm 65. 65, Goldie squawked, comprehension finally starting to dawn. Wait a second. Who is this? I thought you were Mr. Klein. Yes, I am Mr. Klein. But who, may I ask, are you? One minute, Goldie labored, her mind racing. Is this Mr. Joseph Klein? This is Mr. Klein, but my first name is Tibor. There was a pause. Then an exclamation. I must have the wrong number. Well, this is pretty funny, the stranger on the other end laughed. And to think I was actually getting my hopes up about a possible match. Goldie's ears perked up. Always wanted to seize an opportunity. She did not stammer an apology and hang up. Instead, like radar honing in on its target, her antenna shot up to an all-new vertical high. You're single, she pounced on Mr. Klein. I'm widowed, he said. And actually, I'm looking to remarry. Are you a matchmaker? You wouldn't by any chance have someone closer to my age, would you? Well, I'm sure I can come up with someone, although I can't think of anyone in particular right now, she said distractedly. Her attention was diverted by a constant beeping on the line, indicating that another call was coming in. She hated call waiting. She had ignored the beeps during the entire conversation, but the caller on the other side was persistent. The beeps were stretching the nerves tout. Maybe something was wrong with one of the kids in school. Maybe it was an emergency. She really should answer the beep. Listen, Mr. Klein, can you hold on for a minute? I have to answer my call waiting. I'll be right back. I hope I don't disconnect him, she thought anxiously as she pressed the flash button and clicked on to the next call. This better be important. Goldie, dear, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I was wondering when your mother-in-law will be arriving in New York next week. It was her mother-in-law's old friend, Sarah Rubin. Sarah and Goldie's mother-in-law, Faggy, kept in touch intermittently. The last time she had spoken to Sarah had been about 6 months earlier, and she would never have thought to remember the sweet-tempered widow of her call hadn't come in at such an auspicious time. Light bulbs flashed, alarm bells rang, and neon suns blinked furiously in Goldie Buxbaum's fertile brain. Sarah, she said impulsively, are you seeing anyone right now? No, unfortunately, I'm not, Sarah said wistfully. Why do you ask? Sarah, can you hold on for a minute? Goldie said without responding to her question, I have someone on the other line. She clicked back to Mr. Klein and announced with a surge of triumph in her voice, Mr. Klein, have I got a match for you? 5 years later, Tibor Klein and Sarah Rubin are happily married and living in Borough Park, Brooklyn. I was originally upset when I realized I had gotten the wrong number, reflects Goldie. But in retrospect, it wasn't the wrong number at all. God made me push all the right buttons. About two amazing stories of soulmates finding the right one for them. May Hashem bless us to find our soulmates and to make our soulmates, to work harder on our marriage, to make it the best marriage we've ever had. Have a great day.